Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
This is Clark and the Coach, presented by Advanced Roofing Technologies, with Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. Welcome to Clark and the Coach. Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick with you from the Allo Communication Studios here at KFKA. Coach, how are you today?
Wow, good, Clark. You know, I went home, kind of rushed home a little bit from open gym last night at the high school so I could get those abs on. And when I got home, they were down 1-0.
How about that? Early. I'll tell you what, though, and we'll talk abs here in a second. We're also going to talk about the Rockies here in the first segment, too. Rockies now who have dropped 8 of 9. They've lost 3 in a row. They've lost 12 in a row to the Giants.
This usually happens in June.
This is a sinking ship right now. So, yeah, we'll talk about these guys. 17-19 now for the Rockies, by the way. Will they ever this year again see a 500 record? I don't know. We do not have regionals out. Brackets have not come out from Chassa. What is Chassa doing right now?
We don't know. And with all this information, unless some schools have, you know, neglected to get the proper information to them on time, you never know when you can't see it. But a little discouraging that they would take down the RPI.
And that's the first thing I went to. I said, okay, if you don't have the regional brackets up yet, let's at least go through the RPI, the final RPI. And what do? They snake that from us.
They took it down.
As if they want to take it away from our eyes so that they can manipulate it how they want. I just think it's a little sneaky, that's all.
I think it's a little very discouraging when so many people get on that daily and take a look, and there's no reason given. It should not be a secret. When you're filling it out regionally, you have your reasons. If it doesn't come down to exactly what the RPI shows,
sure,
you make a statement and you say, for the following reasons, this is the direction we went when placing teams at the different sites. But to simply take it down from the public, in my opinion, is very wrong.
It seems a little shady to me, just saying. As a coach, do you feel like you need to weigh what you say about Chassa?
Well, you
would. I don't think I do. I think as a media member, I can say whatever I want. I can shoot from the hip if I want. But as a coach, I'm sitting there thinking, if I'm a broadcaster and getting paid by the Rockies, I can't slam the Rockies. I can't jump on there. Jerry Schimmel can't get on there and say, they suck. They're a terrible team. You know, he's got to promote. It's what they do. They want the best product out there. They want their announcers to promote. You as a coach, I'm just always wondering, do coaches have to be reserved in what they say about Chassa? If you complain about something that Chassa does as a coach under the Chassa hood, will you hear from them?
I don't think so. And it's if it's constructive criticism or, you know, simply like this, they may not realize how frustrating it might be to someone else who depends on looking at that RPI.
Sure.
They do a lot of really good things. There's some things they definitely need to make improvements upon. But they hear that from, you know, the entire state. Chassa is basically the athletic directors of Colorado.
Of Colorado, right, right.
And the people at the main office, they represent them. Sometimes decisions are made possibly without explanation, but for the most part, when they come out with a region or a bracket, there's usually a fairly good explanation of how they arrived at that.
We love getting behind great sponsors. One of those, certainly, Advanced Roofing Technologies, came out to Bruce's house. They came out originally to your house and said, hey, you don't need anything. That's one way to gain some support. If you're going to, don't you, you go out to a business where you don't know much about what they're going to do. You're not a roofer.
No.
You know, I'm not a mechanic. So when I go to AAMCO, Fort Collins, AAMCO of Loveland, I need to trust what they're going to tell me. When you find that you've got an honest relationship with somebody that you do business with, that's the gold standard. That they're in your camp forever. Brad Evans and his staff, they came out and said, you don't need anything.
You know, it's like taking...
Give us a call when you do, you know?
You know, you take a look at the roof, and really, you don't need anything right now. Just like when you go into get a car fixed, you know what? This isn't the problem.
Sure. Sure.
I wouldn't, you know, put money into that.
Absolutely. You got to trust folks that you do business with, Advanced Roofing Technologies. It's one of those for you, no doubt, right?
Absolutely. Their crew, once we did need the roof, their crew came out, told us exactly what the process was going to be, and they followed that to the T.
30 years now in business out here in Northern Colorado. So give them a call today. Stick them up on your fridge. They're the place to go for roofing. There's no doubt. It is Advanced Roofing Technologies, 970-663-0203. All right, let's see. Last night, maybe going back and thinking of all the hockey games I've ever seen, was that the most dominating one-goal game that I've ever seen? The Avs absolutely dominated. They hit the post 5 times in the game. That's puck luck. To me, and Jared Bednar said it, I heard his interview this morning, he said it the way I say it. When you hit the post, that's usually a good thing. That means your offense is working. You know, you're just missing. They hit the post 5 times. He was pretty frustrated. He goes, we easily could have 3-4 more goals up there. Then the shots they missed. Then on top of that, Binnington didn't play bad. He played pretty dang well. So I'm just saying, that game, you play that game 100 times, and the same shots, the same everything goes, the average score of that game is 7-1.
Yeah, and when they didn't hit the post, there was a couple sensational saves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he was terrific. So, yeah, Avs completely dominate the game. It makes me think still, and I think St. Louis is a really good team, but there's such a difference between the Avs and I think every other team in this, at least in the Western Conference. Let's see what happens when Carolina, when Florida, you know, when the teams in the East, when Tampa Bay, who just dispatched to Toronto, comes calling in the championship, what that's going to be like. But there's a reason the Avs are the most heavy bet NHL team I've ever seen in the playoffs, and they're showing it. I believe they'll come back, and all they want to do is come back and play exactly like they did last night in game number 2, and it's probably a wipeout. So, yeah.
Well, as a casual hockey fan, I'm not as knowledgeable in hockey, Clark, as you are, but as a casual fan, I really like watching the Avalanche. I've watched them, you know, for years. But the thing that stands out to me is speed.
Yeah.
They just seem to dominate the speed. I like watching hockey once they get out in the open because it's similar to a fast break in basketball.
Sure, sure, sure.
Where, you know, you may be kicking the puck out where as you're passing the basketball, getting it to the middle, may make a pass, may make a fake and take the shot. But there's so many similarities in running a fast break.
You're right.
And the speed that the Avs possess, every game I've watched just seems nobody is close to them in skate speed.
No, and then when you go watch another game, even Edmonton, who's got, you know, some of the fastest skaters in the land, it's just not the same. I mean, and there's no team that in the offensive zone can work that quickly and pass tape to tape. Just boom, 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 boom. Every single pass seems to be on the numbers. But you're right. I sat there last night, me and my son Jake are sitting there, and it was just like the most important thing to me in a fast break is that outlet pass. You get that rebound, you get it out in a hurry, and then you get it to the middle. But that outlet, and I 30 times last night I said, man, did you see that out from a defenseman or somebody down by the goal, that first pass that gets out and gets you in the clear, gets you going. That's what the Avs do so well. You're right, and it's simply like sitting and watching a
and
basketball
fast
break.
And the Blues turned it over a lot.
That's, yeah.
Now, was that sloppy play on their part?
Give the Avs
is
credit.
Just the Avs, their quickness, their
absolutely
stick maneuverability.
Yep, no doubt. So let's see how the rest of this goes. I came in saying this can be a really tough series. I said Avs in six. Now I'm thinking maybe. Maybe not. Maybe it's five. Maybe St. Louis gets one at home. We'll see. You know what? The scary thing for the Avs is, too, you could have lost that game. And that would have been a tough one. You're right. When it gets to overtime, flip a coin. However, 13 shots to nothing in overtime. So it was not quite like flipping a coin last night for the Avs.
But if it's 13 or if it's 12 to 1 and that one goes in...
Yeah, I was watching
crazy game.
Watching a little bit of NHL, the NHL Network this morning, and that's what they said is Micah. You got to Michael Kirkpatrick, our producer back there, wants to jump in here real quick. Michael, go ahead.
You know, I don't know if you guys mentioned this, but the Avs won a lot of faceoffs last night.
They sure did. Another good really point. Important thing in hockey, of course, winning that faceoff, especially when you're in your offensive, both ends. Offensive zone, you keep it in. Defensive zone, you get it out and go. But you're right. You've got to win faceoffs. I didn't see the number on that, so I wasn't aware. But now that you say that, they seem to win most of the big faceoffs in the game.
They did, and aren't they usually in the bottom four?
Yeah, that's not one of their
fortes. This year?
Not one of their fortes, is winning faceoffs.
So I think a lot of that had to do with how well they played, but they're gonna win it in five.
Yeah, you say five, okay, yeah. And I'm not gonna argue that after watching that last night. So how about the Rockies? How about the Rockies almost finding ways to win, but they just can't seem to win? You talked about that this morning in my office, Bruce. This is a team that's a little snake bitten right now, but 17-19. And here are the two stats that I didn't know this till I researched it today. The number one hitting team in the league, at batting average anyway,
right,
at .263 is your Colorado Rockies.
Well, you know, it was Sunday. They put together a 7-run inning, ended up losing the game.
How do you do that?
Without an extra base hit.
Wow, how about that? All singles.
All singles.
But how do you do that? How do you put together? How many times do you have a 7-run inning and lose a game?
I think their approach at the plate is really good.
Sure,
but Clark, here's what's disappointing to me with the Rockies this year. You're always going to have a high ERA with pitching, but they've committed more errors than we are used to watching Rocky baseball.
Right.
Whether they're good teams or bad teams, we're used to watching really good defensive players.
But still have turned the most double plays in the league by a mile. How do you explain that? I mean, it's... Why is that just an outlier, that one team, for whatever reason, has more double play opportunities, so they make more double
plays? And they do. They don't keep that leadoff man off a base nearly as much
as they
should.
Oh.
You know, so there are more opportunities for double plays. But, you know, Ryan McMahon struggled at third base. I think he has the ability to be a sensational third baseman, but he's made almost as many errors right now as he did in his entire season last year.
Yeah.
The second base position, you know, Rodgers is there, but it's not an all-star quality.
Sure.
You know, Iglesias, great fill-in, but he's not Trevor Story. He's not.
No.
And I know Trevor's struggling in Boston, you know, but when...
The boy, he sure is.
The last two shortstops we've watched in Denver have been Trevor Story and Troy Tulowitzki.
I know. Kind of.
Tulowitzki in his prime was really, really, really good.
Yeah, I saw last night or the night before, I saw a quick flipped over to the Boston game, and there's Story there. Boy, he's just... Really, I mean, big time struggling.
He's lost,
And fans aren't happy with it.
No.
I mean, you hear the groans. You know, he got up and popped up when I saw him, and I think he's hitting one. Boy, I mean, he's closer to 100 than he is 200.
Yeah, he started off similar to how Brandon Rodgers started off with the Rockies. Rodgers has kept it up, and I think he's going to be, you know, really good. But in the outfield, there's always different guys in different positions, and there's been some fly balls that end up as base hits or extra base hits that really should be caught by major league outfielders.
Absolutely. All right, let's do this. We got Todd Hernandez, the Eaton Reds baseball coach, the number one Eaton Reds defending state champions. He's going to jump on, going to talk a little bit about. I know we haven't seen regional brackets yet. I'm going to go check Chassa, make sure we're not missing that boat. But we'll talk to Todd about the season, what this team looks like, kind of compare it to last year's championship team, and then I'm going to ask Todd about what his thoughts are. Maybe a 30-second capsule on each of the teams in the Patriot League, what their strengths are when he looks at them from the red side. So we'll do that. Thank you to PWI, Performance and Wellness Institute. That's Ryan Waslowski. He was the trainer. They've got state track. He's an Eaton track coach, too. So they've got state track tomorrow on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday coming up. And Ryan joined us yesterday talking all kinds of tracks, so that was fun. PWI, your own customized, individualized, personalized fitness and performance center located right in the heart of Greeley. Go to PWITraining.com for their services, trainer bios, and testimonials. We thank PWI, Performance and Wellness Institute. All right, we'll come back in a moment from the Allo Communications Studios. It is Clark and the Coach. Todd Hernandez, the Eaton Reds baseball coach, up next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. All right, welcome back to the program from the Allo Communications Studios. Clark and the Coach on a Wednesday here. We're kind of shaming Chassa right now. Get it going, guys. Get that regional bracket out so we can talk about it. Should be a ton of fun coming up this weekend. I love that they put it on Saturdays. So we'll get the regional out there. Who's hosting? Eaton's hosting. University's hosting. Brush is hosting. Sterling's hosting. Res will be on the road. Yeah, Bruce?
And how about the schools that are traveling a long distance?
Absolutely.
They need to make their arrangements.
You bet. Get it going.
It's Wednesday. They're going to have to, a lot of these schools are going to have to leave Friday.
Yep,
they
I get
can't
that.
Leave the morning of an 11 o'clock game and get to their destination in 5 or 6 hours. So I just think it's in fairness to the schools involved. Get it out there.
All right, let's get to our Gould Parts Hotline right now. Head coach of the defending state champion Eaton Reds jumps up with us. As always, good friend of the show, Todd Hernandez. Todd, how are you today?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Talk to me a little bit about this club this year. This is a special group of kids. And when you think about your teams, Todd, whether it's basketball in the past or baseball, it's not really the wins and losses that you think about. It's more the dynamic, the characteristics of those kids, of those players, right?
Oh, it totally is. You know, just being around the guys and hanging out in the dugout and team dinners, all those other kind of things. That's kind of really what it's about. It's about establishing relationships. And, you know, we talked last night that these guys are going to have memories, for the rest of their lives. And you know, very little of that will have to actually do with baseball games. It'll be bus rides. It'll be dinners. It'll be hanging out with each other, going to play wiffle ball, doing all those other kind of things. And that's really what high school sports is all about.
Coach, after coming off a state championship, how does the personality of this team differ from last year's team?
I think last year was probably just a little bit more, they hadn't won one in a while and a few years, and so there was kind of that drive to go get it for that reason. This group right here, I think, is their mission is just to kind of say, hey, you know what, this is our year, this is a new group, and let's just prove that we can do it again. Let's just prove that, you know, it's not a one-year wonder kind of deal with that group of guys. And we have a lot of veterans back. So I think the experience of winning the state title last year has really had a great effect on this year's ball club, because they know about what they're supposed to do and how they go about their business. And so that mindset is just a little bit different.
When you have an elite team like this, and you know the talent's there, I mean, talent's as good as, if not better than anybody else in the state, it comes, a lot of this comes down to what, between the ears. I mean, just getting your head straight. You guys have won 42 of the last 45 games. These are kids that really don't lose very often. So if you get in a spot that's, you know, you drop one or something like that, it's, you start wondering about how they're gonna take it. But there's a lot of coaching the mental side of this that goes into a year like this, right?
Oh, you're exactly right. In fact, our practice last night was basically a mental practice. We met in my classroom at school and broke down some things and went through some things that had more to do with mental preparation than it did with the physical stuff. Because, like you said, at this point, you know, there's so many talented teams out there that everybody has the physical tools to get it done. It's just going to be who's going to handle adversity the best, who's going to be able to overcome, you know, when they're down and they're behind, and who's going to be able to kind of battle through some things that it's probably going to make the difference.
Coach, is everybody healthy on your team, especially your pitching staff?
You know, we've been very fortunate this year that, yeah, right now we're all pretty healthy and as healthy as you can be after playing 23 games. You know, there's going to be a little sore ankles and knees and joints and whatnot, but, you know, for the most part, yeah, we're pretty healthy, so we should be full strength going forward into Saturday.
So we don't get to see you every game. I'm sitting there talking the other day with Roy True, with Ryder True's dad, and we've had Ryder on the program a couple of times over the last few months. And his issue has been a knee. And it sounds like you guys were saying, okay, maybe he's done catching just to save the wear and tear on the knee. And you put him out in right field. He's having such a great year at the plate. So you get Gunnar Duncan back behind the plate. Who else? Who's in the mix? If Ryder's not your 1A or 1B guy, who else behind the plate for you?
Well, you know, you're right. You know, Ryder's knee did swell up a little bit on him, so we've kind of been taking it easy there. Gunner's done a great job
sure
back
has.
There. He stayed healthy. You know, and then we've got, you know, three other guys that we think we can throw back there to do some things if we need to. We're a little hesitant to put Garrett Garrison back there now because he's done such a great job for us. On the bump,
sure.
You know,
right.
you'd hate to have a foul tip go off a throwing hand, and next thing you know, you got a bruised thumb or a finger. So that's kind of prevented him from catching. He's a really good catcher, but we're just trying to keep him there. And then, Brogan caught for us last
that's
year.
Right.
And so that,
yep.
That's an option. And then, you know, really, we've been really pleased with what Joey Boskowski, who's our JV catcher, but he's not your typical JV catcher. He's got last couple games he's gotten in late in some varsity games, and he's throwing the ball real well. So we feel real comfortable with the guys that we have available for us if we need to give Gunner a spell or something happens there.
Well, Coach, that's a lot of depth at the catching position. There's a lot of high schools out there. They're trying to find that one guy that's dependable, you know, behind the plate. Talk about Garrett Garrison a little more, just the addition that he's brought to your team this year.
You know, he has been a great addition. You know, coming in from Berthoud, we knew that he had been, I think, their number two guy on the bump last year for him and caught a majority of their games and to play the corners. And so we knew coming in that, you know, he'd probably be able to help us. First couple open gyms, just seeing the way he was swinging the bat and the way he kind of conducting himself as far as baseball goes, we knew he'd be able to help us. And having Tate and Mitch back, we knew that what they'd be able to give us on the bump. And so we kind of had the feeling of, hey, Garrett's arm has been really good as far as bouncing back, and it's pretty strong. And so we thought, hey, you know what, if we can turn him into a closer a little bit for
sure.
us, that would be great. And man, that kid loves that role, you know, kind of going in there and saying, all right, let's sixth or seventh is going to be mine. And, you know, he's been able to keep his pitch counts down, so he only needs one day's rest. But so we've been able to go throw him Tuesday, Thursday, or Thursday, Saturday. And we've wanted to make sure, too, that we could get him stretched out. He threw a no-hitter the other day against Berthoud, his former team. went out there and threw a no-hitter and struck out 10 out of the 15 out. The only base runner he allowed was he walked the second batter of the game, and after that, that was the only base runner he had there. And so we were able to stretch him out there. We got him four innings on Monday against Jefferson Academy as well, just in case at the state tournament, provided we get there, that we could stretch him out if we need him to start.
You often find a coach with pitchers, too, some of them just more comfortable knowing they're going to have the ball in their hand, they're going to start the game. And some are just that terrific consistency of coming in with traffic on base. Garrett doesn't seem to mind that at all. I know you're telling me he can start, too, but to find somebody who can come in who has usually been a starter but can come in that seventh inning and put you out 1-2-3, that's a pretty special item.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is a lot of a mindset, and I think he relishes that role a little bit for us right now. And early in the game, he'll be in the dugout charting the pitches and those kind of things, and watching hitters. And so that way, when he steps on the bump there in the sixth or seventh, he already knows what those guys have seen and how they've done. And our bench guys do a great job of charting pitches with that and communicating and watching those things as they're going through. So. That's a lot of fun to see.
Regionals coming up this weekend. We don't have to tell you how scary regionals are. We just go back last year and remember Brush had you guys on the ropes. And just one and done in regionals, and then you get to take a deep breath and get to the state tournament, the final eight teams, and you get double elimination there. Regionals are kind of a scary thing. You got to be ready to absolutely give your A-plus game both games on Saturday.
Oh, you're exactly right. That's the thing, is that, baseball is a great game in the sense that, anybody can be, anybody else on any given day, regardless of seed. And so, I we shared that with the boys again. There were a couple years ago where we were the number three overall seed and we played Fort Lufton and squeaked out a 5-3 win in the first round. And last year, down to Brush 4-1 and having to come back in the sixth. And, it's a game where anything can happen, and you get a team that has a hot pitcher and it goes out there and shuts you down a little bit, and it gets a little bit scary. So you're right. If we can get through this weekend, then you can kind of regroup, reset your pitching a little bit, and go from there. The old saying is that you got to get there first, and once you get there, anything can happen. And so that's the key, is we've got to find a way to get there and put together 14 innings of good baseball this weekend.
We always try to guess what coaches are thinking. You think you've got two games for the regionals. Let's say you've got your full complement of pitchers, and we've seen teams come in and try to save the ace for game two, and we've seen the ace go home on the bus not having thrown a pitch. You got to win that first one to get to the second one. That's kind of a tough call for a coach. If you've got one ace, do you pitch him first, or do you try and save him and get to game two? That's a tough one for a coach, right?
Oh, it really is, because, obviously hindsight's always 20/20. So you could go through and say, all right, well, yeah, we think we have this matchup, and we're going to go this way. And then, like you said, you never get your ace never leaves the dugout, never throws a pitch, and you're done. I think we're really fortunate that we feel we have any one of our top four guys we could put out there to get the start on that first game on Saturday and give us a chance to win. So we're real fortunate in that aspect, just like last year with Ryan and Logan.
Sure.
It really was 1A and 1B, and they made me look a lot smarter than I am. So that was good, and I think we're kind of in the same situation this year with Tate and Mitch, Garrett and J-Mac, and so we'll kind of see where the matchups come out, and whatever our scouting report says, we'll probably go that way.
And, Coach, Saturday, will you elect to play the first game and watch the second game, or will you play the second game right into the third game?
Typically what we've done is we've played the first one, get the guys out there and obviously hopefully get a win, and then get them something to eat and get them off their feet a little bit, and then get a chance to watch the second game and see who the opponent would be and go from there.
Fantastic. Todd, thank you so much. I know you're busy. Thanks for jumping on with us here. Can't wait for the regionals to get rolling. My favorite time of the year out here. So go get these guys, and good luck going for another championship this year.
All right. Thank you for having me, and appreciate what you do for high school sports.
You bet. There's Todd Hernandez, head baseball coach from the Eaton Reds, the defending state champion, number one on the ticket right now. I could have talked to him for another half hour. Just things like the Lutheran game, the 9-8 game. did. I heard the only people that cared about that, not so much the players, but it were the fans got into it a little bit. But, I mean, do you even look at that, or can you draw a line right through that game and not even use it in your...
I think that's all history now, but you obviously know that you have to be ready then.
Sure.
And Lutheran is a talented team outside the Patriot League.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thank you to my good friends out at AAMCO, Fort Collins, AAMCO of Loveland, taking care of my car. They've got my kids' cars. They just take care of the Johnson family. They keep us on the road. Like I said before, I don't know diddly about cars, so I needed to find somebody I could trust with all of getting me to and from work and all that good stuff, to get my family out to where they need to go. They do that. AAMCO Fort Collins, AAMCO of Loveland. Don Scott, 40 years out there, number one store in the region. Now they've got you covered in Loveland as well. In Fort Collins, Lance is running the show over there. Give him a call, 226-4477. In Loveland, Dave Martin, your man, 667-3006. Looking for somebody with integrity, going to do it the right way for you. AAMCO of Fort Collins, AAMCO of Loveland. I stand by them every step of the way. We'll come back in a moment. Will Schrotenboer, former Resurrection Christian High School standout, went to play his final year of football and baseball in Texas, and was actually a pretty good. He could shoot a three, too.
He sure could.
On the basketball court, yeah.
That right-hand corner,
boom.
He was deadly from that three area.
Will of Thrills coming up next right here from the Allen Communications Studios in Clark and the Coach, Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Welcome back to the program. Clark and the Coach, Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick with you on a Wednesday here in Northern Colorado. Regional baseball gets going on Saturday. Cannot wait for that. I always go back and think of my favorite players that I was able to sit here and have was blessed enough to be able to call their games and watch them play sports out here. And I can tell you, Coach, on two hands, maybe a total of 8 or 10 times in 17 years, I've had players come to me, either write something to me or come after a game and sit and thank me for what we do and just for coming out. And I got a letter from Will Schrotenboer his freshman year. So we're talking about a 14-year-old kid sitting down and writing a letter of thanks to somebody for coming out. And it's one of the best things I've seen in my 17 years out there. So I'll always remember this guy, one of my favorites, Will the Thrill. Will Schrotenboer jumps on with us right now. Will, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic, man. Talk to me about the difference between going to high school in Colorado at a small school and going to high school in Texas at a big school. What did you like? Maybe what did you did? What haven't you found so wonderful about it?
I liked going to the bigger school. It's just more people to meet and just more friends overall. But I don't know. The small school was good, too. I enjoyed my time in Colorado, but I am happy I made the move here.
Yeah, Coach is going to talk to you about a bunch of stuff here, but I want to know, your sister graduated from another SEC school other than Arkansas, right?
She did. She just graduated from Ole Miss last weekend.
All right, so you want to just be her rival and go to Arkansas. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think so. I was thinking about Mississippi State if I really wanted her to hate me. But
there you go. Yeah, if you really wanted to get at her, you would have been a rebel. Who's Mississippi State? Are they the? It's Mississippi
Bulldogs.
Rebels. The Bulldogs. That's right.
Bulldogs.
Yeah, one of the 4 million Bulldogs teams out there. Talk to us. Talk to us about that decision to go to Arkansas too. Sounds like. And how hard is it going to be? Coach said. I'm just flummoxed that you're not going to go on and try to play sports at maybe for a smaller school or something like that. Sports have been such a part of your life growing up and forever. You want to go to Arkansas for the studies to go get a great have a great career. How hard will it be to step away from sports for you?
It's going to be pretty hard. I'm going to miss it a lot, but when I went to Arkansas, I really enjoyed it, and I don't know, I just kind of thought it was time for my next step.
And Will, did you have opportunities to go to some smaller schools to play? And if you were to choose football or baseball, which would you play?
I'm really not sure about that one. I'd probably go with football.
All right. Well, and this spring you had I think you ended up 3-2 on the mound. Tell us about your team and some of the players on your team and just your season overall.
Yeah, baseball's been great. I've had a good time. We got a 26-man team, so we have a lot of guys on the team, and we're just all pulling in the same direction, and we're headed into the third round of the playoffs this weekend. So hopefully that goes good.
And who do you play this weekend?
We play Independence, who's actually a school in our district, so it will be close.
And how? What was the outcome when you played them before?
We split with them in the regular season.
Nice.
I ask all the tough questions, Will. So, favorite place to go? What city are you in, by the way?
I'm in Frisco, Texas.
Frisco, Texas. All right. Favorite place to go eat in Frisco? Have you found a place that you go frequent?
Place called Wing Daddy's Sauce House.
Oh, yes. I want to go there now. Wing Daddy's Sauce
House. That just sounds like...
Yes, sir. Favorite type of...
It's great.
So, we're talking buffalo wings, right?
Yes.
Do you know the show Hot Ones on YouTube?
I do not.
Okay, that's a show where a guy gets on with celebrities, just one celebrity at a time, and they have to eat like 10 wings, and each one is progressively hotter, all the way up to like ghost pepper. So you see the celebrity falling apart while they're eating the progressively hotter wings, but he's asking them questions about their career and stuff during this. So great show. Do you like real spicy stuff? Would you like your wings way hot, or you're a mild guy?
Not at all. I can't eat spicy anything.
And you're in Texas, so I got to wonder. I guess you can get anything you want in Texas, but that's pretty cool. Bruce,
and what's the best barbecue place in Frisco?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I'm not a big barbecue guy, so maybe Rudy's.
All right.
Rudy's is decent.
All right, we'll go there. That's pretty cool. Between now, graduation is when? Are you already there? When is graduation day for you guys?
This Saturday. We might have a baseball game on Saturday. So
this was one of the things we talked about with Brady on his show.
That's right.
Yesterday, the question was, would you rather go to your graduation or go to, it was the state track meet, what we were talking about, or state baseball game? I'm going to ask you the same thing. Any hesitation just going and playing baseball instead of graduation?
I think I'd be starting on the mound that game, so I'd go to the baseball game.
Absolutely.
For sure.
It's a tie for me between standing in line at the DMV or going to graduation. So, I would.
You'll have plenty of graduations, Will. You're going to have your college graduation, probably knowing you, your postgraduate. So enjoy baseball as long as you can.
Hey, Will, do you want to coach at all? I mean, what will sports do? What part will it play in your life going forward? When you get to Arkansas, if that's where you end up going, intramural sports, you probably want to jump on a couple of teams there. What do you want to do maybe when you get old and grow up? What kind of career are you looking at?
Yeah, I do kind of want to stay around sports. I know back when I was in Colorado the summer before I left, I did some reffing for some little kids football, and I really enjoyed that.
Sure.
Just kind of maybe doing a little bit more of that when I'm in college.
Maybe I'll find you out there. My son and I are going to go start umpiring baseball this summer. So, and we need, I imagine in Texas it's the same thing. They probably need officials like crazy out there. But, Bruce, you got anything else?
Do you ever think about if this was your senior year still here and there wouldn't have been some changes that we're all aware of at Resurrection Christian, but it would have been Will Schrotenbohr, Luke Ruby, David Hallett, Drew Bobo, and Ryan Ward, the starting five of the basketball team. Do you ever think about
it?
Oh, there is no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But sometimes adults get in the way.
They do. That's a shame.
That's
but
right.
We would have been good.
Your freshman year, that was the 25-0 year for Coach. Is that right? Am I on the right year there or not?
I think that was
sophomore year.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, Will was part of that team.
That maybe is that the best basketball team you've ever been a part of?
For sure, 100%.
That team could have played at any level, right? I mean, you could have. I knew 4A and 5A coaches that didn't want to play you guys that year.
Yeah, I've never seen someone like Zach Cook guard a 7-foot guy, 6-foot nothing.
You're talking about the guy from Lutheran. Is that who you're talking
Absolutely.
About?
Absolutely. Yeah. Bayfall.
That's terrific.
My current players say, Coach, you played against Bayfall? You know? And I said, yeah. How did you stop him? I says, yeah, we put a 5'10 kid on him.
That's right. That's right.
And they go, what? And they just don't know Zach Cook.
Hey, Will, thanks, man. Thanks for jumping on, letting us catch up with you. Best of luck to you, dude, going out to Arkansas. Kill it out there, and just don't forget about us guys back here in Colorado, okay?
I will. Thanks for having me.
Happy graduation, Will.
Happy graduation, man. Will Schrotenbohr, former standout at Resurrection Christian High School, on his way to Arkansas, so... All that is very cool stuff.
Well, Will's going to see some great football.
He sure will.
Some great basketball and some great baseball.
Whoa. Yeah, I've been in that baseball stadium. They talk about, you know, 3,000-4,000 people a night out there. Yeah. They bring it. They bring it. And check out the Batgirls on top of the dugout. It's my favorite part. We'll come back in a moment from the Allo Communications Studios. Clark and the coach will wrap this thing up on a Wednesday here. Don't forget, big matchup today. Big Madden matchup, Hull versus Schwent. Last time we checked, Schwent minus 180, I think, on the betting line. Hull plus 150. I'm going value with Brady Hull to win this one today. All right, that's a 12:30 kickoff, by the way. I think we're going Facebook Live on it, so it should be fun. Come back in a moment and wrap things up from Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. All righty, welcome back on this Wednesday, Clark and the coach. Clark Johnson, Bruce Dick with you. What do we got tonight? We got Rockies coming up today, by the way, 12:30. So the whole show is coming up, shortened whole show, just 30 minutes of the whole show. So for your hooligans, get in Brady's face in the first half hour. And give him a shot here, because I'm backing him in this Madden Challenge here against Tanner Schwent. So we'll find out what that looks like. But Rockies, 12:30 pregame, 1:10 first pitch. Freeland and Webb today, trying to lose 13 straight to the Giants.
Well, Kyle Freeland, let's go, Mr. former TJ standout, and put a stop to this, Clark.
Needs to be better.
Put a stop to this.
Needs to be better than last time. He had a bad outing last time. And I was kind of on him. I kind of thought he was the bad luck kid. But we'll find out. Should be interesting today. All right. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. We will have regional brackets breakdown tomorrow.
We hope so.
No question about it. Casey Miller from the University Bulldogs is going to jump on. Whole show's next. 30-minute version coming up on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.